Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 through 22, and the title of this evening's message is God's Promise to Noah. God's Promise to Noah. And so we will read verse 20, and then we'll pray, and then we'll begin. So, verse 20 of Genesis chapter 8, the Word of God says, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this evening. I do pray that you would forgive us for our sins. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Pray that you'll just help us to learn what you have for us from your Word, and please bless us and bless those who hear this message on sermon audio. And I do pray that you would just let this message do the work that you intend for it to do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So God's promise to Noah, Genesis 8, 20 through 22. By way of introduction this evening, Noah had spent nearly 54 weeks on the ark. God had told him to enter, but did not tell him when he would exit. And Spurgeon said, "God always lets his people know what is practically for their good. There are many curious points on which we should like to have information, but God has not revealed it. And when he has not revealed anything, we had better not try to unravel the mystery. No good comes from prying into unrevealed truth." And so, indeed, God told Noah when to get on the ark, but not when to exit until the very end, and then God told him to exit. Noah had sent birds to test to see if it would be safe to exit the ark, but he didn't leave until God said so in verse 16 of chapter 8, and now he has left the ark. And the first thing that we see that Noah does is that Noah builds an altar. Verse 20. "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." So Noah's first action after exiting the ark was to build an altar and worship, quite possibly. He built it out of lumber from the ark. As we talked about this morning, they would have likely repurposed that lumber from the ark, and that's why explorers searching for the ark are not going to find it. Just not going to find it because it's already been turned into houses and altars and so on and so forth, used as kindling wood. So your best chance of finding the ark is to go up I-75 and look in Kentucky. And their ark's quite nice, and it also has restaurants in it. So you can eat and you can enjoy. They have a petting zoo and other things. I've never been. I'd love to go. But those of you that have been, tell me it's really nice. So Noah builds this altar. Remember that Noah had taken seven clean beasts because they would be needed for sacrifice. So he had taken two of every kind, a male and female, but with the clean beasts, he had taken seven. And the Bible says in verse 20, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord." So we want to emphasize that he built an altar unto the Lord. And of course, Lord is capitalized in the King James, and that means it's speaking of Jehovah. And Noah builds the altar to Jehovah, or Yahweh, a name of God indicating his covenant-keeping nature. God had done what he promised. Noah and his family were safe from the flood. And so Noah builds an altar to the Lord. And the second thing we see is that the Lord receives the sacrifice in verse 21. "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done." So God makes some promises to Noah, and that leads us to the third part, is that God makes a promise to Noah. And so we'll now examine verse 21 in detail and then verse 22. So God, first of all, in verse 21, he says, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. So God promises no longer to curse the ground. Some people think that this is a reversal of the curse from Genesis chapter 3. It was in Genesis chapter 3 that God told Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake. John Gill, for instance, thought that it was a reversal of that curse. And he said after this, the ground was more fruitful. Well, most commentators don't think it's a reversal of the Genesis 3 curse, but that it's speaking of the flood. And I think that's really what it's talking about. When it says, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, think of how the ground was cursed during the flood. There were earthquakes all over the earth. The fountains of the great deep were broken up. So you had these underground fountains of water that were spewing their water up on the earth, and so the ground was cursed during the flood. In fact, the ground was completely wiped out. It was all moved around. It was totally cursed by the flood. And so God says, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And God says also, neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. So God promises, and later on he gives a symbol of this promise in the rainbow, but God promises that he will never again kill every living thing with water. He's never again going to send a flood. Now we know that that in the end of time that God will burn the earth over with fire, and he'll create a new earth. But he will never again send a universal flood. And so that's why you don't have to worry about things like global warming or a new ice age or any of that kind of stuff. You don't need to worry about it. In fact, in verse 22, this is a third promise. God says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So God says, while the earth remains, while things remain as they are after the flood, then you're going to have regular cycles of seasons, and you're going to have your different seasons throughout the year. And so we don't have to worry about another ice age where it turns winter all the time, or where everybody burns up because of global warming or global climate change or any of that. God is keeping everything running like clockwork. And there have always been periods of time where it has been hotter during some times of year than usual and colder during some times of year than usual. In fact, I remember several years back, maybe you remember it too, when we had, you know, a blizzard here. And that was very unusual. So the weather always changes, but you always have these seasons. In the South, we have extra seasons added on. We have pollen season and a few more extra seasons that we have here. But nonetheless, God says that he'll keep things running in order. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. One of the things about the flood is it just upset the order of everything. While the flood was going on, I mean, they were on the ark for over a year. And while they were on the ark, it was just rain and flooding, you know, constantly. And everything was being upset. And so this natural order comes back. Some think that this is really the first time that this order had happened, because, again, some people think that before the flood, the earth was like a giant greenhouse, so it was kind of like summer all the time. Certainly you had day and night cycles, but it may have been that there was this type of seasonal order before, and that was kind of suspended during the flood, and now God puts it in place and returns it and says that this is going to continue while the earth remains. Now we go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, and the Word of God says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the Word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." So by the Word of God, everything was created, and the heavens were of old, and the earth was as it was, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So that's talking about the flood. So the flood came and the world as it then was perished. It was overthrown with water. 2 Peter 3, 7, "But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." So God eventually will burn the earth over with fire. Don't worry, we'll all be safe. We're not going to be burned up. But He will do that eventually and remake the earth like the Garden of Eden. But God will never again destroy the world by water. And the world is being kept in store, the Bible says, the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store. So the heavens and the earth are being kept the way they are by the Word of God. And part of that goes back to Genesis 8:22. "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease." And so, because God made that promise, you see how powerful the Word of God is. That promise is keeping the seasons happening. It's keeping day and night happening. It's keeping the world as it is until God destroys it and remakes it with fire. John Rice says, "Seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter were established. These geological and weather systems will continue until the present earth is destroyed by fire and remade in the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men," described in 2 Peter 3, 7 through 12. "Then will come into being the new heavens and the new earth," 2 Peter 3, 13. Life Application Study Bible says, "Countless times throughout the Bible, we see God showing His love and patience towards men and women in order to save them. Although He realizes that their hearts are evil, He continues to try to reach them. When we sin or fall away from God, we surely deserve to be destroyed by His judgment. But God has promised never again to destroy everything on earth until the judgment day when Christ returns to destroy evil forever. Now every change of a season is a reminder of His promise." So every time we see the seasons change, then we are reminded of God's providential sustaining work on the earth by His Word. And it's another reminder that God's never again going to destroy the whole world, at least not with a flood, until that day of judgment when it is burned over with fire. And so there are a lot of cataclysmic events that happen, but we don't have to worry about the whole thing going up. Every once in a while there's a movie that comes out that talks about some ancient silly prophecy about when the whole world's going to be destroyed. There's that one movie where the whole world, some Mayan or Inca or something, some kind of prophecy, and then the whole world just starts falling apart. The earth starts blowing up because of that day. But we don't have to worry about anything like that. We just go on and live our lives, try and live for the Lord, and win people to Christ, and look to the Bible for assurance and answers, because there are a lot of people worried about a lot of things, and the Bible has a sure word for people, including just the fact that the seasons are going to change and things are going to happen the way they have, and they're going to continue to do that because God's Word says it. And so we can give people a sure word in the Bible, and we need to be worried and focused about winning people to Jesus Christ. And so Noah gets this promise from God as he starts to live his life in the new world. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this place. I do pray that you will help us to focus on the promises of your word and the assurance we have that you're holding things together. And you're even holding us together. And I do pray that you will help us to share the gospel with our loved ones and friends and family and those who need it. I pray you'll help us to stay focused on your work and to stay faithful until the day you return or until the day you call us home. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.